top headlines.
All right, the Celtics getting blown out by the Cavs yesterday, 121-99. LeBron James, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists in the win. Celtics back at it on Wednesday when they take on the Clippers. C's also retired Paul Pierce's number 34 yesterday. The Bruins, meanwhile, picked up a 5-3 win over the Devils last night. Adam McQuaid, the game winner for the Bees, they'll be back in action on Wednesday when they take, or tomorrow rather, when they take on the Flames. Colts have their new head coach, Indianapolis, going with Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich. He has signed a 5-year deal with Indianapolis. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster reportedly been arrested in a domestic violence case. The Jaguars riding high after their playoff season announced they will be removing the tarps in their stadium and will now be selling tickets to the whole stadium, and they'll also be raising ticket prices by about 11%. And according to San Diego police, former Major League pitcher Esteban Loaiza was arrested Friday with 20 kilos of heroin. Sports of Headlines brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did and start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser. Call 866-77-LASER. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports. Have your next update in 30 minutes.
Talking about Pats, Sox, Celts, Bruins, Revolution, 98.5 The Sports Hub. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So as she's skating into it now, she has to keep the speed. She can't second guess. She has to go right up into it. Yes!
Just the third lady to land it at the Olympics, Midori Ito, Malasada, and now Mirai Nagasu. The teammates love it. They saw a little piece of history. First American lady to do the triple axel.
The best part of the Olympic coverage on NBC and its family of networks. Two people, Hardy. Tara Lipinski, Johnny Weir.
Now, are they doing something other
awesome.
Than figure skating, ice dancing?
No, they're doing all the skating stuff.
Okay, so they're still just doing skating?
Yes.
Okay.
They should let them do more. They're that good. So I know that when they, you know, started this 4 years ago, when they started at the Olympics, and it was, aha, big joke, you know, Lipinski and Weir, and, you know, they weren't exactly professional broadcast. They have refined everything they do. They're excellent at it. They're entertaining. They're good. They have, you know, little quips. They snipe. They criticize. They're awesome. They're quick. You gotta listen to them, Hardy. They are... Two of the better, I dare say, two of the better color commentators in all of sports now. They're that good. And I don't even care.
Well, that's
I don't
the
even
point.
Care about this
How
sport.
Would you know?
I don't even understand it. I have no idea what I'm
so
looking at.
So how do you know they're any good at it?
Because
they might be
I'm
totally
entertained.
Wrong.
Because I'm entertained. And you know what? It's this other part. They're making it accessible. In fact, they try to explain how the hell to understand this stuff, scored sports, right? Like, that's not really a thing. That's not something we would ever watch on a regular basis where there's judges issuing score. No, it's just, what?
Give me a clock.
Did you score or did you not score?
Right.
Is it a goal? Is it not a goal? Is it a touchdown? Is it a field? What is it? No. They try to make it more accessible. They try to explain it. And the Olympics are just so snobby to begin with that whoever the play-by-play man is during this was like, well, yes, Tara, but obviously anyone who watches figure skating would know that. Well, guess what, guy? People don't watch figure skating. This is like the one time every 4 years that you actually get eyeballs on the sport. So why don't you let them do their thing? I say you just give it to them. Let them do their thing. Weir and the outfits and the outfit trackers, I'm in, man. I'm in. I'm into this whole thing. Just for them.
What happened to you?
I don't know. I don't know.
It started with you going to a lot of...
sucked in.
It started with you going to a lot of those mix concerts. I would find you going off on
I'm in, man.
Random Thursday nights to the House of Blues to see some band I've never heard of, and you're like all excited for it. It's a lot about the costumes. It's a lot about the presentation, isn't it?
Presentation.
Yeah.
Costumes.
Just give me a good show. Doesn't matter if I care anything about the actual content. Just give me something that's
I want him coming
fun to
in.
Look
I
at.
I want to see him with like the full peacock haircut. I want the whole deal.
Yeah.
The whole deal. Yeah. Feathers in there, everything.
I saw
Bring it, Johnny.
All right. So what did they say about the first woman in competition to land a triple axel in competition?
They're very excited about it, obviously. Very excited.
They said that was good?
That's a big deal.
Well, I guess they are good.
It's a big deal.
They got to recognize that. First triple axel landed in competition.
First American to be able to do it.
Yeah. That was big.
American lady, as they said.
So how do you count those? Because I was watching as they did it in slow motion. It looked like four turns to me. You're just spinning around like a top. It looked like she's four. What's with the triple? What's the axle? I don't really want to know. Please don't tell me.
Brian's in Fitchburg. Hi, Brian.
I get home from work last night, Beetle. I get home around 9 o'clock. My wife's watching the team event of figure skating.
Yes.
I sit down on the couch, and I'm praying that Frank Castle breaks into my house and puts a bullet in my head. It was unwatchable. But you know what? I'm a smart man, and I know that when I've worked all day and she's been with the kids not to come home and demand the Bruins be put on. But, hey, real quick, I think this the hockey is going to be terrible this year. I mean, you're going to see players like Cody Goloboof and Brian Johnta. It's just going to be horrible.
Chris Kelly. Don't forget Chris Kelly's going to be there.
Oh, my God, Chris Kelly. I wouldn't even mind if they had the best college players. And the same thing in Canada. If they had the best OHL and WHL like they did a couple months ago with the World Juniors, I'd be okay with that. This is going to be either 2-1 games or it's going to be 22-24 games.
Either way, you're not into it, though. You're not into it. I don't know who it's supposed to appeal to, what the meaning is going to be behind winning that thing. Like, if you win gold this year in hockey, who cares? Good for you. Nobody wants it.
It meant something before, and I understood the importance of it. I always found it difficult, and I do find it difficult, to root for any kind of international competition hockey because it takes me away from where my first loyalties are with the team. Here's Patrice Bergeron. Oh, sweet. No, you're rooting against him. You're rooting against him. You're rooting against the Dano Chara. You're rooting against him because it's got to be Team USA. And while I can appreciate the level of competition and what it means to these guys, especially for all these guys, they love the international competition. That's how they came up, playing in World Juniors. And, you know, this feels like coming home to them, right? Takes them back to when they were first starting out and playing at a high level. For the players, I get it. As a fan, it was I always felt like I had a divided allegiance when I was watching international. I'm happy that it's not affecting me one way or the other this time around. Really doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter. But I never liked the idea of having to root against somebody that every other night of the hockey season in the NHL I'd be rooting for. Now you got to be rooting against.
There should be an agreement that for the world to do this and partake in the Olympics, you should have your best amateur players. Like, you've got to have some sort of level playing field, right? Because if you go back to the Soviets started using their guys that were professionals and they were full-time players. And then you had amateurs going. I mean, we know that story. So then have the agreement be that it has to be amateurs. That it has to be all amateur players. The best college and junior players from around the world.
Sure.
And have that be the Olympics. You can get on board with that, right?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be a worthy product worth watching if it's not NHL guys?
And that one, I don't really have big college hockey allegiances. So that would actually make me more interested that we're the same way across the board for all countries, all teams. That makes sense. But it's just, I don't know. There's no one singular event in the Winter Olympics that makes me stop and say, okay, this will decide it once and for all. And it's not like the Summer Olympics has it in spades. There's only a few. The 100-meter dash determines the fastest person on the planet, without question. If there are anybody faster at running, they would find them, right? In the biathlon, is there somebody out there who can ski and shoot better? I don't know. Maybe. Probably. How many people have actually tried it?
You have stars in the Summer Olympics, too. Like, we want to watch Michael Phelps swim. You want to watch Usain Bolt run.
Right.
Yes.
There's nobody in the Winter Olympics that's like that. Like you said, Beto, they're trying to build up a couple people, but they don't have it yet.
And swimming is the other one, Jim, in the 100-meter freestyle, right? Or whatever it is. Whatever the whatever they use to determine the fastest swimmer on the planet, that's it. If anybody could swim faster, they would have found him. I don't care if they're, you know, they're living in Antarctica or in Buenos Aires. If anybody could swim faster than the guy who wins gold medal or the woman who wins the gold medal in the singular freestyle Olympic event, they would have found him by now.
But a couple years ago, they had that, was it Apollo Ono, the speed skater guy? I got sucked into that. I watched
that
because he was
one.
A superstar.
Superstar.
They had the Tumba, the old skier from Italy, like back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That watched
There's
it for
a
that.
Few of them. Chances are you're going to find the fastest skater. But, I mean, it's just so simple. It's running or swimming. There's nothing else involved. You're going to find the fastest person on the planet. That what do you have in the Winter Olympics? Apollo, maybe the fastest skater. I don't know. How many people have put on those skates, though, and you know, gone around on a track like that and even attempted something like that? Running, everybody can relate to. Swimming, everybody can relate to. It's simple. It's easy.
Is Lindsey Vonn actually in the Olympics? Like, she's on all the commercials, but is she actually, did she make the team? I don't even know.
Yeah, she's there.
So maybe you'll watch her.
I might. And I'm not saying they're easy pursuits. It's easy to understand. Beetle and I are here watching the ski jumping. I have no idea how hard this is. Scary, sure. Is it tough?
Doesn't it feel like they should ski down the ramp instead of having the tracks?
Well, once a few people, what do you want them to do? Go down there and shovel snow on the tracks every time? Smooth it out? Get down there with a shovel?
I bet they did that at one point in time. But that was the old school way of doing it. It's like you just skied down a slope and then they built up a ramp.
Just make it a sheet of ice. You know, watch these people really fly. I'm with Jim on this one. Not into it, hardly at all. Beetle, I'm happy you're happy. You watch the Olympics for the next 2 weeks. Good grief.
We need a Johnny and Tara update every day from you, Beetle.
I know. I don't know when it's on again. I watch about a half hour.
It's on every night. Something's on
every night. They need to be on every night. I don't care what the sport is. I want to listen to those two. It's a team event now in skating. Team event. I guess, for now. Like, early on, there's a team event. So they all go, and then they win, you know, for your country. Not for your individual whatever. The individual stuff comes later.
Right.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk to B-Rob.
Ooh.
He almost snuck by LeBron James yesterday, but LeBron James' trainer said, oh, no, no, no. That's coming up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cavs just have to get it across half court, and they do. In the hands of John Holland. Cleveland Cavaliers shake it up, blow it up, start over, and they come to Boston and they blow out the candles on Paul Pierce Day and blow out the Celtics. The final score, Cleveland 121, Boston 99.
Celtics get blown out by the Cavs yesterday at the Garden. Go to the expert hotline and welcome in from the Boston Sports Journal. B-Rob, Brian Robb is with us. Hey, bud.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what happened with LeBron? What happened there?
Oof. Well, I was trying to get to Brad Stevens' press conference on time before yesterday's game, and I saw an imposing athlete working out in a very small area and tried to power through him and get to the press conference on time and was denied by his trainer.
So I was a little surprised to see LeBron working out in the hallway like that, but I was immediately told by multiple people here in the room, no, that's pretty normal. That's pretty commonplace. Is that true?
Well, I will say this, Hardy. Their opposing players do work out in the hallway from time to time. But that's the first time I've encountered a player having some muscle, if you will, to fend off anyone, you know, going anywhere in that hallway. I mean, it's a teeny hallway. go out to the court. Like, if you're going to do a full routine like that, most players do some stuff out there, but it's, I mean, he was doing a full workout there, which is, and I have a bone to pick with the cameraman who picked it up on film. I did manage to go through. They cut away at the time when I went through.
Oh, so you did, but you forced your way through. Did you slap that guy's hand out of the way?
Yeah.
And say, I got a blog to write. Out of my way.
Exactly. No, I didn't slide through, but he was still going. I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm sliding through here, but they cut away.
So you eventually did slide right by LeBron.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a 5 minute wait there. He was finishing up, and I was like, all right, this is ridiculous. I'm going through here.
Wow.
Good for you, B-Rob.
Now, standing up to LeBron.
Did you hear us earlier when we were talking about this?
I didn't hear you guys, but I got some text.
Okay, so what essentially we said was that you looked bigger because of, you know, the scale in a photo. You know, something behind you or, you know, looks taller than it maybe actually is. The point is, we were immediately chastised on Twitter for somehow, like, reverse fat shaming you.
They were skinny shaming you.
Yeah, because I said you look like you weren't 145 pounds soaking wet and that you were, you know, thin and all that stuff. I'm trying to, I mean, what else do we say? What was the worst thing we said?
Novak usually says I should eat a sandwich.
Yeah,
I wasn't there today.
At some point I may have called you a stick of a man. Do you find any of this offensive? Do we owe you an apology?
I mean, I'm used to it at this point, so it's kind of just, I guess I accept it. I mean, I'll get some crap when I play in my intramural basketball league, and I'll get some crap from those guys about it. Maybe they'll bring me some food to make fun of me. But no, I mean,
you know what, B-Rob? I'm sorry. I publicly apologize for the comments I made regarding, I believe Beetle at one point called you wayfish. And I co-signed on it, so I might as well have said it myself, and I apologize. It won't happen again.
Listen, that means a lot for you. Thank you, Hardy. It's not necessary, but I do appreciate it.
It was only me, just for the record. Beetle is not apologizing.
Beetle, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I accept that.
How about the game yesterday, B-Rob? How alarmed should the Celtics be about the Cavs?
First of all, I know it's just one game, but those new pieces look pretty good around LeBron. You know, they're younger, like George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Ronnie Hood, all these guys can shoot. It'll be really interesting to see how well they mesh here in the next 6 to 8 weeks. And then obviously they got Kevin Love coming back at some point, but the Celtics, the bigger problem right now is just the Celtics themselves. You know, the Cavs played well yesterday, but the Celtics, you know, they've been down by 25 plus points in 3 of the last 4 games. So this is, you know, they haven't really hit a rock bottom slump like this all year long there, but they're in it right now. And, you know, the solution wise, obviously the All-Star break's coming up, but Brad Stevens kind of got to regroup right now because, you know, it's not like any more help's going to be coming in. The trade deadline's gone. So this is kind of what they got. And it doesn't look that great right now.
No, and it can't. It's such a stark contrast to the way the rest of the season has gone. You take away the opening night and the start. Beyond that, I mean, 6-8 over the last 14. It's nothing like this team has been playing. And anything to try and explain it, of course, is going to come off as excuse making because I don't know. I mean, I understand the difference between an explanation and an excuse, but I don't have either one right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the issue, Hardy, I think a lot is the offense, and it's been, they've been able to get away with it most of the year because the defense has been so good. But this is a 22 ranked offense in the NBA right now, and over the last month, over the last 15 games, it's even worse. And it's pretty one-dimensional. If the three-point shots aren't falling like they were yesterday, they really don't have many other ways to score. Guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they're coming back to earth a little bit. They played amazing for the first couple of months, but now, you know, it's a little bit of a regression to the mean. And when you factor in that the defense is showing some slippage as well, you know, you're not going to win many games when you're a terrible offense and an average defense. And, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
We had a caller earlier, B-Rob, that said they hope that Jaylen Brown is not Jeff Green Jr. How would you respond to that?
Oof, that's a rough comparison, but you definitely, I mean, Jaylen Brown, I don't think is that guy. I mean, Jeff Green, we all saw firsthand of, like, he looks like he has all the talent in the world, like, from a physical standpoint, and just couldn't put it all together. Jaylen Brown has made more strides from year one to year two than I think, you know, Jeff Green arguably made throughout his career, so I think it's pretty much a reach to go that far. But, you know, there are, like, you do have to – Jaylen Brown does have, you know, question marks around his game still. Defensively, you know, he still is in some miscommunication spots and isn't always in the right place, makes some tough decisions at time. And then games like yesterday, he relies a little bit too much on his jumper when he should probably be going to the hoop a little bit more. So, again, I think that's, you know, you definitely don't want him to go there. I think that's a pretty big reach right now, but he's still 21 years old. Jason Tatum's 19. You know, there's a ton of youth on this team. Guys are playing bigger roles than they should be, you know, or were expected to at the start of the season, obviously, with Hayward out. And we're kind of starting to see that, you know, factor into how they look.
All right, back to the Paul Pierce thing here for a second. We kind of touched on it, but Beadle was disappointed. I don't know what it was that he was expecting. I guess he thought it was overhyped. What did you think of the ceremony?
I mean, I thought the Celtics did a nice job of it. I think it was a – I personally would have loved to hear from one of Pierce's old teammates, if they could have convinced, like, KG to talk or Rondo or someone like that. Obviously, that's, you know, that's beyond the Celtics' control. But I thought it was a nice mix of speeches. I thought the video that, you know, Sean Grady wrote and Tommy Heinsohn narrated was awesome. And, yeah, I think, I mean, the crowd was really into it. And, you know, Pierce gave a speech that was from the heart, I feel like. So, you know, I thought they did, I mean, given the fact that it came after a 25-point blowout, that wasn't great. But beyond that, I thought it went pretty well.
No, that's a good point. There were no former teammates.
Yeah,
right?
I think that needed, it could have used that, Beto. I agree with you. I mean, I think that would have taken it to another level.
Right,
I feel like.
Too much coaching, ownership, front office. We would have rather heard from another player. I think you've hit on something with that. Also, there was in the video, which I thought was pretty good, with everyone, mm-hmm. you know, saying congrats to Paul Pierce. Why was Magic in there so predominantly featured? Did you understand that?
No, that was kind of. I mean, Kobe, I get.
Yes.
Because he's Kobe, and that was like a rival. But yeah, Magic made a couple appearances, both during the game on in the video, like during a timeout, and then during that video. So it was a little bit weird. I mean, we'll see if the NBA fines him for tampering. I guess they can't at this point, but I mean, it was a little too much Magic for, you know, given that it wasn't like Larry Bird, obviously. It was Paul Pierce, who, you know, those guys never played together.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Okay. All right. And the Kevin Garnett, I guess, retirement or having his jersey retired. We had that conversation a bit.
Yeah, you guys on board?
No,
I'm on board.
My thought is that he's a Timberwolf. I don't think of him. I don't think Kevin Garnett equals Celtic. I think Kevin Garnett equals phenomenal basketball player, championship of the Celtics. But I think of him as a Timberwolf. 14 seasons. You know, granted, in two or three different stints there, as opposed to six in Boston, it just doesn't seem right to retire him as a, you know, his jersey as a Celtic player.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point, Arden, but I think he's going to get both, and I think he does deserve both. Like, he came here, he wanted to retire Celtic. I mean, he had a no-trade clause, and, like, Pierce, Garnett, I think, you know, they both, not sacrificed, but they, like, saw that. They saw the writing on the wall, and they both agreed to get moved. So, obviously, so they would have a chance to compete, and also so the Celtics could get a jump start in this rebuild back in 2013. But, you know, Garnett changed the culture here. Like, he was, again, he embraced the city. The city embraced him. He won a championship here. He probably would have won a couple more if it wasn't for injuries. And, yeah, I think, I mean, if given the criteria for some of the guys up there in the rafters, I don't see how you can keep Garnett out of the rafters.
One other question for you before we let you go. What is the relationship between Pierce and LeBron these days? Do you have any idea? Because LeBron had a chance twice to talk about Pierce after the game, and he just sort of avoided it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty chilly still, Bertrand, just based on those comments. And just from over the years, like, even on TV now still, like, those guys have never gotten along, you know, as far as, you know, the NBA fraternity, if you will. Like, Pierce loves taking shots at LeBron. They obviously went at each other for years upon years, and Pierce got the better of him for a while there, and then LeBron obviously took over after 2011 when he went to Miami. And you know, they never really buried the hatchet, I feel like. And that was on display with those post-game comments yesterday. And I don't know, I think that's kind of cool. Like, that's kind of what Pierce was, you know, in that era. Like, he wasn't going out to just make friends with everyone. He really didn't like the guys he was playing against. And that kind of lives on down the road.
Yes, certainly does.
All right, B-Rob. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
BostonSportsJournal.com is where you read the coverage of the Celtics from B-Rob. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye. That's B-Rob.
You didn't apologize to him.
No, I don't feel I need to. I feel like I'm good enough friends with him that I don't need to do that. Maybe you feel like your friendship isn't as strong.
Friendship means never having to say you're sorry.
It means that you can get away with more. That's what it means. Wow. Yeah, like you and me. You get away with more. True or false?
Yeah, but if I had actually wronged you or hurt your feelings, I would still say sorry.
Yeah, but I don't believe I actually hurt his feelings.
Well, I'm erring on the side of caution.
Right, and when you're someone's friend,
I didn't know you and B-Rob were best friends.
Well,
I had no idea.
You don't have to err on the side of caution.
He drove me to pick up my car once. I think I'm better friends with him than
you.
Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's quite a sign of friendship.
And I'll have you know, on the way there, we stopped at his house and picked up his dog so he could take his dog to the park. So I rode with B-Rob and his dog over the dealership to pick up my car.
All right, you win. McCone has headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, speaking of the Celtics, talking with Chris Mannix today, Brad Stevens talked about the possibility of Gordon Hayward coming back. Stevens saying, my mindset is he's not coming back. That's the way we've approached it. Gordon and I have never had a conversation about him coming back. Celtics, meanwhile, falling to the Cavs yesterday, 121-99. LeBron James, 24 points in the win. Caesar back at it on Wednesday when they take on the Clippers. Bruins picked up a 5-3 win over the Devils last night. They're back at it tomorrow when they take on the Flames. Colts have their new head coach in Indianapolis, going with Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich. He has signed a 5-year deal with the team. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster has reportedly been arrested in a domestic violence case. Former NFL quarterback Johnny Manziel announced he's been diagnosed as bipolar. He's now taking medication for it. And according to San Diego police, former Major League pitcher Esteban Loaiza had a tough weekend when he was arrested Friday with 20 kilos of heroin. Sports Up headlines brought to you by Bob's Granite Place. Get quartz countertops starting at just $33.99 per square foot installed. Bob'sGraniteplace.com. I'm Tim McCone of Boston's Hope for Sports 98.5. The Sports Up. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Solak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
This might be one of the most overplayed songs ever. Right here, this and Don't Stop Believin'. Put them in
you
the same category.
You think this is overplayed?
Overplayed.
Yeah. God, I don't hear this that much.
Overplayed. McCone, tell me, how many times you see some drunk girl go put this on at the jukebox at the bar? Like, what are you doing? Well, overplayed.
Is it 1984?
This song gets too much attention now. Too much attention, period.
Where do you go that has a jukebox?
You know what I mean? Those, like, digital things? You know, you can do it from your cell phone on the app now.
I'm sneaky a fan of this song.
What is that thing called? Touch Tunes? The Touch Tunes, Jim. How many times do you hear this crap come on the Touch Tunes? Like, give me a break. Overrated, overplayed. Thanks for, I'm going to screw up this name, aren't I?
Cunard.
Cunard Tavern, Orleans Street, East Boston. Much thanks to them for lunch today.
Yeah. Holy cow. I didn't sample the burger, but I had a bite of everything else. Good grief. I don't know what's in the middle of that mac and cheese, but it ain't mac
beef.
And it ain't cheese.
It's beef.
It's beef.
It's like a stew beef. It's
big,
excellent.
Big mess
Very
of
good.
Beef
Very
in the
soft.
Middle of that mac and cheese.
Yeah, it's good.
Pigs in a blanket. There's just nothing better than pork wrapped in pork. Squirt a little cheese in there. Wings? Mmm! Look at Maz. Now Maz is going over it. Get after it there, Maz. There you go. Dig in, pal. Huh? He just yelled an obscenity, didn't he?
What'd he yell?
Well, I
give
can't
you a bleep
say.
View? Give you a bleep view?
I can't say.
I can't see him from here.
can't see him. What's he doing? You never know what he's doing back there.
Oh, he's
doing.
Oh, he's pretending to be on the phone. Oh. All right. Bye.
Fair enough.
Coming up in an hour and 19 minutes.
Fair enough. 617-779-0985. The Paul Pierce retirement was not bad, Hardy. You overplayed what I said about the retirement, sir.
Excuse me. You said that you thought it was overhyped. You watched it and you were left largely unimpressed. I told you I didn't watch bits of it. I'd rather watch the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. By the way, the guy who's the host on The Bachelor, that guy can play. They listed him at a 10 handicap, but he and his partner, like, I don't know, beat the field by something ridiculous.
What about Rome? I mean, not Rome. Romo.
Larry
Romo?
Fitzgerald, right?
Larry Fitzgerald.
He won the thing, right?
That guy can play. That guy can play.
What's up with Romo?
I don't know what Romo did. All I know is you go on to 985thesportshub.com and you read my column about Romo getting in a PGA Tour event coming up later this spring.
Yeah, he doesn't need a pro-am. He's getting in an event himself.
It's a joke. A total joke.
He'd be the pro in the pro-am part of it, right?
But, yeah, exactly.
Good job.
You could go into a pro-am that in the Dominican Republic at the end of March and participate in a pro-am, and your pro would be... No, he's...
Here is the headline.
He's retaining his amateur status, Jim, if you want to get specific about it.
Here is the headline at 985thesportshub.com, where you can read this story right now.
Oh, we're going to talk about this?
Hardy.
Yeah?
Tony Romo should find another way to kill time.
Yes, he should. Tony Romo's a really good golfer. I do not doubt for a second that he plays to his handicap, which is a plus 0.3. So you hear people talking about being scratch golfers, meaning, yeah, just to put it in the most basic of terms, you can get around the course in even par. If you're on the plus side, that means you are below par for your handicap, and he is a plus 0.3. That is really, really good. It's not anywhere near good enough to play in the PGA Tour. The difference between a 5 handicap and a scratch handicap is huge. The difference between scratch and a plus 1 is just as big. A couple of years ago, and I researched this for the column, Bubba Watson was listed as a plus 7.7. It's a different game. How much harder it is to shave a stroke or two once you get down around low single-digit handicap. He's really, really good. He's better at golf than I ever will be at anything. Fine. Good. PGA Tour event? And he's not earning his way in. The sponsors can give exemptions to whoever they want, but generally they'll give one to, say, John Daly, a guy who won a couple of major championships and has a chance, albeit a really remote one, at winning the tournament. Or a top local amateur, somebody who's on the rise. Tony Romo is neither one of those things. He's a really good country club player, and he's going to bring people in the gate. He's going to get people to watch. So if that's their only goal, then fine, they'll accomplish that. But to think that he can go out there and compete with these guys, he's not going to make the cut. If he does, I'll be shocked. There's no way he sniffs the top 10 in finishing in this thing. So what's the point? You're just going to go out there and prove once again. He's tried this before, Beadle. He's tried to qualify for the U.S. Open. Didn't make it out of locals the last time. He tried to qualify for the AT&T Byron Nelson years ago in a Monday qualifier. Didn't happen. You're a former NFL quarterback. Now you're alongside Jim Nance in the booth. It's kind of like the Tom Brady argument. How much more do you need? Is it not good enough to be able to beat anybody that you play against at your country club at a plus 0.3 you should be able to? There's probably no one better. He wants to test himself against the world's best. Fine, go play golf with Tiger on a weekend. What are you doing going to the Dominican Republic? And yes, in some small way, taking that spot away from somebody who's got a legit chance or needs the spot. You don't need this. And you're not going to accomplish anything. What you're going to accomplish is proving that at least for me, hopefully, he'll stop this nonsense now. Not good enough to play in the PGA Tour. Anybody who thinks they are, they're fooling themselves. Any really good golfer. I asked Ray Bourque about this multiple times, but most recently last summer. Hey, Ray, what do you think about these hockey players who say that once they're done, they want to get their game together for a few years and then hit the Champions Tour? Ray Bourque, who's been a single-digit handicap for as long as I can remember, you know what he said?
What did he say?
He laughed. He said, no, don't. Stop it. I don't care who you are, how good you think you are. You think you're going to play hockey until you're 35 years old and then really focus in on golf for the next 10 or 15 years and go play on the Champions Tour? You're not going to, so stop it. It's not happening. And that's from a guy who can play, has always been able to play, and he knows. If you don't want to take my word for it, listen to Ray Bourque. It ain't happening. Knock it off. Find something else to do. There, you asked.
And I got a response. All right, you're talking about one former quarterback, Tony Romo. Is Johnny Manziel a former quarterback, or does he get back in the game? Does he get back into football, and does he get back to the NFL? He did an interview this morning that's making the rounds, and he claims he is sober, and he claims he wants to get back in the league. We'll hit on that interview coming up right after this.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I had a sense of entitlement about what I had accomplished at the age that I had accomplished it, and I got so ingrained only caring about what Johnny wanted. Even when I thought I was doing what I wanted, I was miserable.
Is the goal of this comeback to get back into the NFL ultimately?
That's the end goal, 100%.
You have to tell me, are you still drinking?
No.
Not drinking at all?
I'm not, because here's the way I look at it. Going back throughout the last couple years of my life, I was self-medicating with alcohol. Like, that's what I thought was making me happy and helped me get out of that depression to a point of where I felt like I had some sense of happiness. The difference that I know this year is I started taking a look at my mental health a little bit and making it a priority in my life, and Bree making it a priority in my life, to where I'm taking medication for bipolar and I'm working to try and make sure that I don't fall back into any type of depression, because I know where that leads me and I know how slippery of a slope that is for me.
Johnny Manziel speaking this morning. Good Morning America with the interview. But Johnny Manziel, he's saying all the right things. He looks good. Says he has a contract offer on the table.
Sounds like he's being honest for one of the first times in his
life. Yeah, I mean, he comes off as being genuine.
Yep.
He does. And there was a question in there about, you know, will he remain sober? And he did not promise. He said, I don't know.
Well, again, this
how do I know?
This is somebody who sounds like they're getting into recovery, right?
Yes.
And the pathological honesty that is required if you really want to do this, right? And that's not an answer to scare anybody. That's an answer that somebody gives when they're kind of, you know, starting down this road, which is, are you going to be sober? I don't know anything about Friday night. I don't know anything about tomorrow night. Depending on where he is and where his headspace is at, all he might be able to say with any degree of certainty is today. Or maybe until, you know what, I really only made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to pick up a drink or a drug until 2 o'clock this afternoon. So that's all I can really promise you right now. That's where he is. That's where a lot of people find themselves when they're getting into it and starting off. And you know, a lot of people never get away from that. You know, no,
yeah,
I can't make any guarantees about next season. I can tell you, here's what I can tell you. I'm not going to drink today. And you've stringed up those days together. And then you got people who don't pick up for years and years and years.
I said, I'd like to sit here and say, yes, I have a lot of confidence that would be the case. But at the end of the day, it's to be seen. I'm still moving forward.
Right. It's recovery talk. And I don't say that with any kind of malice or anything other than full understanding and support. That's what that is. And I hope it works for him. I hope that works out. I don't know that any team is going to put themselves in the same position. I don't think they have any reason not to, other than his looking at his past history, saying, well, here's a guy who's going to flake out at some point. He might. There's a lot of guys who can flake out. A lot of guys just not going to be as good as you thought they were going to be. If this could be a deal breaker for a lot of teams, though, the fact that he's not willing to say, I will never, ever, ever drink again. But anybody who says that is pretty much lying.
I was going to say, anybody with a clue would know that that would be impossible to promise.
Yeah, nobody knows.
I bet someone takes a flyer on him.
Oh. I'm trying to think the last time I was wrong about this. It's been recently. Who was it? Who was it that I said nobody was going to give a chance to? Come on, Jim's usually good at remembering stuff.
I don't know, but it would have to take somebody that has a lot of pull and has a lot of a big reputation to take a chance on him.
Why? There's going to be no risk involved. You're not giving up a first-round pick like the idiot Browns did when they drafted the kid. There's no risk. He comes in. He's not any good. You just cut him. He's going to be making league minimum.
I don't think our friend Nagy over in Chicago could take a chance on a guy like that.
Why not?
Put it that way.
Why?
I think it takes a strong personality coach to take a chance on him. It's got to be an Andy Reid, John Gruden, Belichick type.
Maybe. But I just know that wherever he goes, he's not going to be able to get out of line. They'll just cut him.
I was thinking Ursay.
Stop it. I just think that he'll at some point get back in, however long it lasts. I don't know. I don't know if he'll even make it out of training camp. I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's cut out to be an NFL quarterback.
I mean, is he better than Colin Kaepernick?
That is interesting. That's very interesting, Marty.
I mean, people don't want to go with Colin Kaepernick because of the headache that he might present. Oh, and oh, by the way, we don't think he's good enough to make difference in our team, especially as a backup, and certainly not as a starter, so we're not going down that road. I can see the exact same conversation being had about Johnny Manziel, and teams coming to the same conclusion. Well, here's a potential time bomb. Says he's fine, but is it worth it? Is he going to make a difference one way or the other if we get Johnny Manziel in here on this football team? What has he done? What has he done in the limited amount of times that he's had to showcase his talent? And he rolls out of the pocket. Okay. Does he still have an arm? Is he dedicated? Is he in shape? Can he learn the playbook? Is this going to be what he dedicates his life to, or is he going to dedicate his life to his recovery, which I would, once again, understand and support? But you mentioned guys like Belichick. Belichick wants you to devote your life to football and the Patriots.
I can see Belichick taking a chance on him. Possibly.
With what upside?
That he could be the guy that replaces Brady.
Yeah, because there's no reason to believe that.
God, I hope not.
Oh, come on, Jim.
Johnny Manziel. He took a chance on Tebow. He might take a chance on Manziel.
Right, but
comes along with the same sort of hoopla. It's not the same sort of baggage that Kaepernick has.
We got to define what you mean by take a chance. If you mean by letting him come into camp and hang around for a couple weeks, you mean by taking a chance. Sure,
no,
okay,
Tebow,
I can see that.
Tebow wasn't very good, but there was no doubt.
Yeah, but if Tebow was good, he would have made the roster, right?
There's no doubt about Tebow's commitment to the sport of football. I mean, that guy, every single morning, gets up and eats, breathes, sleeps, does everything football during that time period in his life. That guy wanted nothing more than to be a successful NFL player. That's everything in his life was focused on that very point. And what you're saying, Hardy, is that a guy like Manziel, he can't have that 100% commitment to it at this point in time.
You know what, Beetle? I don't know. I don't see why the two have to live in direct opposition. I mean, Tebow was still and is still, you know, one of the salt of the earth type of people. Yeah, he was dedicated to football. He still found time to build a hospital here and there in the Philippines. I mean, this guy was out doing stuff. I don't think he ever stopped his other pursuits and passions.
He offered the occasional cost-free circumcision. Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Look, for some people who are getting, you know, clean and sober for the first time in their lives, it may be a full-on. And Manziel has done this. Manziel did a 60-day inpatient. That's a hardcore rehab, right? You're going in for 2 months. He did it that way. It didn't take. If he's decided that he's done, then this could be relatively easy. This could literally be a meeting a day and checking in with the sponsor and doing just, well, you know, whatever needs to be done. It doesn't have to be a 24/7 pursuit for him if he just wants to, you know, not use anymore.
Okay, you brought it up.
But he might need something to distract him. And you know what? If he goes full bore into football, that might be a distraction enough. People go dig deep and they find times to stay busy. You stay busy doing stuff so you don't have that alone time where you want to drink, right?
I don't know. Everybody's different. I don't know. I don't know what his triggers are. I don't know if he can devote his life to, you know, cleaning it up and football at the same time. They might work together, like you say, Jim. He might decide, you know what? I can't have the added stress of trying to make a football team right now when I got all the stress I can handle just to not go out to a bar tonight and drink. That's all the stress I can handle right now. So he may decide that way. He may not. Like really, push comes to shove, decides what it's time to do. He may not want to. He may not want to play.
Belichick should just say, "Screw it." You know what? You traded my guy Garoppolo. I'm bringing in Manziel and Kaepernick. Let's welcome the circus to town for camp.
And where would be the benefit in all that? I'm just wondering where.
Hey,
that...
if one of them pops in camp and adjusts to your system, that's talent. They're both talented.
Yeah, I don't know that either one is going to adjust to the system. I don't know that I would think that either one of those guys is going to adjust into the type of quarterback that the Patriots would want. Good luck, though, if that's what your plan is.
Bill probably wants it just for the extra media attention. He loves that.
He wants the media circus.
He likes that.
He enjoys it. He enjoys the back and forth.
The political reporter from New Hampshire coming down again?
Yeah, I'm sure that's definitely what they're angling for training camp. Given the offseason, it's been a rather uneventful offseason, so I'm guessing Bill for training camp is going to want to really, you know, add some life to it.
Listen, you got to look at all possible quarterback options, right? If you're the Patriots right now, you got to look at all possible quarterback options.
I'd be focusing on the draft is what I'd be doing. Let's get to headlines. McCone, 90 seconds, no commercials, fourth and final hour on the way.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
All right, the Celtics fall to the Cavs yesterday, 121-99. Seas are back at it on Wednesday when they take on the Clippers. Speaking of the Celtics, talking with Chris Mannix today, Brad Stevens talked about the possibility of Gordon Hayward coming back. Stevens saying, "My mindset is he's not coming back. That's the way we've approached it. Gordon and I have never had a conversation about him coming back." Bruins, meanwhile, picked up a 5-3 win over the Devils last night. Adam McQuaid, the game winner for Boston.
Felt good, obviously. Not really sure how it went in, but it found a way, and it was good to get that win tonight after, you know, what we felt like wasn't our best effort last night.
Bruins are off tonight. They'll take on the Flames tomorrow. The Colts have their new coach. He even signed the contract in Indianapolis, going with Frank Reich. He signed a 5-year deal. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster has reportedly been arrested in a domestic violence case. And in college basketball, the URI Rams are up to number 16 in the top 25 polls. It's the highest ranking in school history. Sports of Headlines brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, with over 50 trucks on the road because your clogged drain is their emergency. Go to johnsewer.com. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Center. Next update, 30 minutes.